with music from the great Brendan Graham, who's not feet away from me as I speak. This is The Wonderful Watchman.
If ever I feel the raging tide, if ever the seas should tumble, if ever I hear the earth collide, if ever the mountains crumble,
he said to me when he came in the door, would you have that song worn out? I do, Brendan Graham, I do have it worn out. But that's because of its popularity. How are you, Vic?
I'm great. Vic.
It's lovely to see
you. You're on the road to, where is it?
Turin
next week, right?
That's right. You've been on that road yourself over the years, in fairness.
I have, a few times, yeah. I was just thinking back about it because, you know, coming in to chat to you, there's nothing like hearing Irlande do the point.
That's right.
Ringing out when you're in the hall and it's your song. You know, it's a very special moment.
A very special moment, and we need to hear it again.
We do.
It's been a bit of a wait.
I hardly even remember it now. It's that far back.
It is a long time ago, isn't it?
26, so what's that, 26 years?
It is, yeah. Mm. And it is a strange feeling. The great thing about the event, though, is that people keep in touch. And, like, you're in touch with Emer all the time, of course, co-writing with her and all of that. But that's important, too, isn't it? That you form friendships and bonds through the Eurovision.
You do, and you've been through a very special and unusual event. And it brings its own tensions, you know, because you might have ideas of you want the song done this way, the artist might have different ideas. So there's always, you know, certain tensions around it. But the main thing is you're sharing something really special. A, you represent your country. B, you've actually represented it well, you know, which is so important.
Yeah.
And there's the whole thing. But, you know, over time it all kind of becomes a sort of miasma of memories, you know.
I suppose. But then your success at the event is enormous. And that's important too. It's not common, the level of success that you've had over there.
No, I suppose to win 2 out of 3 years would be fairly unusual. I don't know what the zillions of chances would be. But it was fantastic. I didn't expect it. Both songs initially were rejected by the panels here selecting, which I think is a point well worth making, in that neither of the songs were written to be Eurovision songs. And I think that's the great pitfall, that people are trying to write a Eurovision song instead of trying to come up with a really good song that, you know, just catches people.
Yes.
And that's probably why neither of those songs got through into the National Song Contest originally. In fact, I'd entered Rock and Roll Kids for 3 years before it got picked.
Are you serious?
And The Voice for 2 years.
Good Lord, yeah.
So I think there's something to be learned from that, you know?
Yeah.
And maybe people should move away from the notion of a Eurovision song and just try and
just write a song. Well, I mean, the thing is, as we both would know, and I'm sure many people have realised at this stage, there is no formula, because the formula, as you say, it's about a good song, it's about a decent song, because they're so diverse, the 42 countries or 40 countries that enter. There's no actual line between them all, except that most of them are decent.
Yeah, but there does tend to be a sort of familiarity. And I think it's often more about the track now than the song,
you know, and the
production.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've always taken the view that if the song can't stand with a piano and voice, no matter how many flashing lights and people on hoops, it's not going to change the basic thing. So
Yes.
I think that's a kind of a key thing. So even to this day, when I demo a new song, it'll always be just with piano and voice, because I know if it's not working, then it's not going to work.
It doesn't feel right. It doesn't feel right. But you're still doing it. You have a new song. How did you get involved with the Norwegians, if it's not an impertinent question?
Well, we're trying to get back on them for all they did to us all over the years.
That's right.
Well, no, I've always had a connection with Norway through Rolf, and I've worked with a number of people there, and I've worked with this particular composer, Tuva Kragset, over a number of years. And I might have mentioned to you before, but I have probably 30 or 40 scrapbooks of bits of songs that have never been completed and probably never will be. And from time to time, I'll rifle through them and I'll see something. And I came on this particular song I'd written called For Me. And I sort of thought, well, it has something and I'll try and tidy it up and so on. And I had a melody, but I just thought, you know, Tuva would be good to try this for a melody. So I sent it off to her and she came back the next day, I think.
Really?
Had a melody. Yeah.
Gosh.
That quick.
Yeah.
And she works with this incredible gay men's choir in Oslo called the Oslo Faggot Choir.
Right.
And that's not derisory, because in Norwegian, the word faggot means bassoon or bass. So it's
about kind of voices. Yeah.
So she said to me, oh, shit, I'm going to bring it to my friends in the choir.
Yeah.
And there's this big event coming up. So anyway, they loved the song. And a couple of weeks ago, there was the 50th anniversary of the decriminalisation of homosexuality in Norway, and there was a big event in the National Library, and the Minister for Culture launched the song, the choir, and a very well known actor and musician in Norway called Bjarte. I won't try and get through his second name.
I've seen the spelling.
You've seen the spelling, yeah. So there was a big event, and the thing went off great. They premiered the song, and I was thrilled.
Were you there?
No, oh. I was thinking of going, but I'd just been travelling. I just got home, and it was Easter and birthdays of the kids and all that, so I didn't head off straight away again. And the song was about self-realization, self-empowerment, and just doing, you know, whatever you're doing, do it for yourself. Don't be afraid to fail.
But it's interesting that you had some of the lyrics already
Written
already in your head, in your heart, and committed to paper, that they were there.
Yeah, so maybe I should stop writing new songs and go back through all my scrapbooks. And,
but did she take it to a different place, or did you already have a sense of what this might be about when you wrote it?
Oh, and I knew what it was about, yeah. And she put the music to it, and the music fitted perfectly, and it gave it sort of that lift, and then she did an orchestration to it, and the choral parts and the choir were just phenomenal.
Yeah.
So, you know, the whole thing. But it was random, as so often with songs. You write them, and you sort of let them out there.
Sure.
Like out of your hands, like a dove, when you don't know where it's going to fly.
And because you've done this in your own place, this is over in the West, you would have written this.
Yes.
When you heard it back from Norway, what did it feel like to suddenly hear this, your work, coming back at you from all those miles away?
Yeah, well, there's always a mystery about the whole thing with songs, I think, about the writing of them. I mean, it's something I've been fortunate enough to be given this gift. And it's a kind of mysterious thing, because every time I start, I never take it for granted I'm going to finish. And obviously, with all the scrapbooks I have, lots of times I haven't finished.
Yes, yeah.
And so you're hoping that something will happen that will get you to the end of the song. And sometimes it does happen, and I'm never quite sure how. And then I'm never quite sure what's going to happen with any song. Like, who knows?
Well, of course. Well, the proof of that is the two songs you mentioned earlier on that went on to be Eurovision winners were rejected by people who you would have thought...
So you don't know. So it's like, you know, we have a half door in our house, and I like to think of the image of the songs almost physically going out over the half door.
Yes.
To sail wherever they want, and that then I'm a bystander. I'm standing on the sidelines watching. So I was absolutely thrilled when I got it back, and thrilled that it was used at such an event, and that all these people connected with it and felt a sense of empowerment and felt good about themselves, and that was the whole message of the song.
And is it released now? It's out there.
It's released, and there should have been... Tova told me she sent you a physical single because she knows you like physical products.
Does she?
Yeah.
Well, we didn't get that yet, but hopefully... But we have it already in the system.
Good.
You can just put it in our system, which we have. So let me just explain. It's the Oslo Choir.
Faggot.
And it's...
Faggot Core Choir.
And her name is...
Tova Krogstad.
Tova.
And Bjarte Hjelm.
Bjarte, I'm not going to make it.
You try, go on.
It's like Helmland.
Helmland, yeah. You must be good at this from doing all the Eurovision.
I've natural German, I think it seems to me.
Let's have a listen to it. Life been reaching out for love. Reaching out for what I thought I was unworthy of. And I became invisible, and only now I see the road that I must go. Leads me back to me. I will fight for the right to be me. I will stand up and be counted for me.
So that's how you would demo it. That's how you would put out. That's how you would put it forward. Is that how you would do it?
Yeah. Well, in that normally I get a singer to demo it, but when Tova sent me back that, I thought, well, sure, I'll try it. And I had to drop down an octave and everything.
Of course, of course.
All that sort of stuff.
Did you never sing yourself, Gerhard? Did you never sing yourself?
When I did my concert a number of years ago in the concert hall...
But I was there.
You were there.
Yes.
And you didn't leave.
No, I did not leave. But that was a great celebration. By golly, was that some celebration.
So I thought people would like to hear how much the artist and the arranger does with my songs by hearing me sing.
Well, I don't think there's any... Well, there's two people I want to mention in that regard. One of them is Bert Bacharach, who, with respect, probably hasn't a note in his head. But when he sings his songs, they're his songs. Mm. Well, Hal David himself and Hal David, of course, or whoever. But there's something about the singer, Jimmy Webb is the same, something about the singer singing their work, I think, takes it somewhere else. And it gives people an extra insight into the person.
I wasn't going to mention this today, but I'll let you in on a little secret. I have started a process where, and it'll probably be into next year, I'm going to do an album of my own songs and not the hits.
Really?
But songs I've been writing later, yeah.
But you're going to do it yourself?
I'm going to do it, yeah.
Good for you.
It'll be mostly speak singing.
Yeah. I know what you mean. I know. Well, there are those who get away with that too out there, in fairness. When we listen to the song, we listen to the now, this could be you again, in which case we won't worry. But we'll see. We'll, as the fella said, see.
I'll try and sneak out of the building.
You're not leaving. The doors are locked, Brendan Graham. You're not going anywhere. This is for me, and this should be Bjarte.
Bjarte.
Bjarte. Have a listen.
All of my life, been reaching out for love, reaching out for what I thought I was unworthy of, and I became invisible, and only now I see the road that I must go. Leads me back to me. I will fight for the right to be me. I will stand up and be counted for me. I might stumble and fall, I might lose it all, but at least I'll have lost it for me. I will fly, I will soar, I'll be free. Give my best, give my worst, but give me. I will answer my call, take a chance, I might fall, but I will give it my all for me. And only now I see exactly who I want to be. Now I am alive, now I will survive. I will fight for the right to be me. I will stand up and be counted for me. I might stumble and fall, oh, I might lose it all, but at least I'll have lost it for me. I will fly, I will soar, I'll be free. Give my best and give my worst, but give me. I will answer my call, take a chance, I might fall, but I will give it my all.
Brendan, it's great to hear you again.
That's my fault.
No, it's not. Don't worry about it. These things happen. You sent your own version twice, which is great. We have it to relax. As long as they're not listening in Norway.
Can that be destroyed immediately?
No. We'll keep that as an insurance. We'll keep it. Well, hopefully we'll get it before we finish up today, because it'll be nice to hear, obviously, to hear the choir and their take on it. It is released, though, like in Norway. This is actually out there now.
It's on iTunes, Spotify, everything.
You said an interesting thing to me, and we'll come back to that shortly, about all these lyrics that are in these books and stuff, and they're unfinished and whatever. And yet, not a lot of people would know that you're a very successful author as well. And I am aware of your books that you've written over the years. It's like you, You're a man of many talents. You're not afraid to kind of go down different routes and try out things. But you finished those. Any thoughts of writing again? Of writing a book I'm talking about now?
No.
Too big a project.
And too big a project. And
a lot of research.
A lot of research and very emotionally demanding. I mean, yeah. Songs can be too, but at least, you know, you can sort of get out of the song in a short space of time. A book sort of sucks you in and it's like, you know, monkey on your back.
Sure.
And all of that. So, no, I'm glad I did them, but no.
And deadlines as well. That's the other thing about that. You've all that and people ringing you saying, what about, where's the chapter and all that?
Oh, listen, don't talk to me about deadlines. I had a lovely editor, God rest her, Patricia Parkin, who was of the old school of editing at HarperCollins. And I think it was on the second book of the trilogy. And I was falling behind. You know, the first one, you get ahead of steam because it's
of course
you. Second one is hard work. And I remember I got a title. It was the third book, The Brightest Day, The Darkest Night. And it was from a letter a soldier wrote to his wife at the American Civil War before he went into battle. It was a beautiful, poetic piece of writing. And he was killed in that battle. And I sent the title over to my editor and she came back to me, one-liner, "We love the title now, where's the book?"
Oh, really?
Just like that.
Talk about pressure. Yeah. Oh, that's unbelievable. You see, that's the problem with a situation like that.
Songs are easy.
Absolutely, songs are easy.
In a way.
And it's very difficult sometimes, I expect, to get to a situation where you're totally in control of another area. You can't be in control of that. That's not your world. This is your world.
Yes.
And it's a different one. Do you think when you look back at the great success of all your work, and you know you were I know we were messing earlier on about The Watchman, but that your work with Emer has been really successful. Has been and touched. The Watchman, I'm telling you, is really seen as the song right through the lockdown here. It made such an impact on people.
Oh, well, I'm glad to hear that. And you do hope that the songs, sometimes, you know, you wonder if the songs do have any effect other than being sort of ear candy. And you hope that there'll be something in them that people will connect with them. So it's lovely to hear that.
Well, I think that, and these things matter. Yeah, but you see, you go back, you've been involved, I mean, we talk about the Eurovision, but you go back with songs for quite a way. When I think about it, Maria Christian, Red Hurley, there's a lot of people that you've been writing for years.
Yes.
I still think When is a great song from Red Hurley. And you're looking at me now like I'm 120.
No.
But it is a really good song.
It's not a good song.
I think it is.
Red made more out of it than was in the song.
Red's voice holds up today.
I didn't understand about hooks then. And actually, there's something new coming out with Red that myself and the Swarbrick have written.
Really?
It's called The Music of My Life. It's all recorded. He's in phenomenal voice.
He is.
And that should be out in a few weeks. And with Miss Quinn, we have a new project, a single due out in probably a couple of months called Peace Upon This Land with the Dublin Brass Ensemble and a wonderful singer called Gavin Ring. So it's a duet. It's a big anthem.
The great thing. Gavin Ring. Wonderful voice. There's a rumour that I have this now. Now, if we play you for the third time, do we owe you money?
Lots. To get out of here.
Brendan, keep the faith. This is for me. Hopefully, I think we have it. Keep the faith. Brendan Graham, God bless you.
All of my life, I've been reaching out for love. Reaching out for unworthy of, and I became invisible, and only now I see the road I must go, leads me back to me. I will fight for the right to be me. I will stand up and be counted for me. I might stumble and fall, I might lose it all, but at least I have lost.
song is called for me. That's Bjarte Helmland.